Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Northwest Baptist Church. We hope you hear from God in this week's message.
All right, we are still in our month of Be Our Guest, and this month our series is on Psalm 23. The first week I covered, because our guest preacher wasn't able to be available, and I just preached on Psalm 23, verse 1. Last week we had my close brother in the Lord, Pastor Russ Chambers, and he preached on verses 2 and 3. And this week we have another friendly brother pastor from our Baptist Convention of Maryland, Delaware, Pastor Frank Duncan. He is the senior pastor of Paramount Baptist Church in Hagerstown, Maryland, correct? I'm going to give y'all the warning. His preaching is like his stature. So when he gets up here and you see him, you're going to be like, oh, okay. He brings some thunder with him, all right? So I'm excited to hear from him. He will be covering verses 4 and 5. So let's give a round of applause for Pastor Frank Duncan.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. Thank you. Well, good morning, Northwest Baptist Church. I am honored and humbled to be with you this morning and very grateful to Pastor Chris for the invitation. I can tell, based on the video, you've already had some great preaching from this wonderful Psalm number 23. Although I must admit, I was a little bit surprised. It appeared that last brother was preaching barefooted. I'm sorry. It's great preaching, but you know, I'm glad God doesn't judge us on the way we dress, amen? I wondered about how to dress this morning, but I thought perhaps Northwest was a lot like Paramount. We don't really have a dress code. We have people that come in shorts and jeans and t-shirts, and people like me that are a little bit old school and put on a suit and tie, and I'm glad to see one or two of my suit and tie brethren out here in the congregation. But hey, if you want to go barefoot and you can worship Jesus better that way, then have at it, amen? But I'm going to keep my shoes on. I do want to say thank you to Zach, who helped get me suited up with this microphone. Sarah, who will be manning the slides, thank you so much. And again, thank you, Northwest Baptist Church, for this opportunity and the precious privilege to bring to you the Word of God this morning. We are in Psalm 23, talking about God, our Shepherd. This psalm has brought so much comfort to so many people over the years. I don't know how many times that I've shared from it myself, both in church and services and messages, and so many times during funeral services and memorial services. And I think we often think of the 23rd Psalm in that relationship. It gets read a lot at those types of occasions, and rightly so. But I want us to understand this morning, the 23rd Psalm is not for just when we leave this world. It's for our journey through this world. The 23rd Psalm does not just have a word for those who are mourning death. Psalm 23 has a word for the living this morning. And so the 23rd Psalm, there's a lot about it. It talks about the shepherd, obviously. It says so much about the shepherd and his care for us. But what we can't miss this morning is that the 23rd Psalm is written from the perspective of the sheep. It's talking about the shepherd, but it's the sheep's perspective on the shepherd, the sheep's response to the shepherd. The 23rd Psalm, in its simplest understanding, is a confident declaration of trust in the faithful shepherding care of God for his own. God is our shepherd, and that brings great comfort. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read the entire psalm. It's not that long, but how encouraging it is to hear these words once again as God's word to us. Psalm 23, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. It is my happy task this morning to speak on verses 4 and 5. As we do so, just by way of understanding the structure and perhaps rehashing a little bit about what you've already heard in these first couple of weeks, that this psalm is an expression of trust and confidence, and you hear that trust expressed in three personal statements from the author of the psalm. The psalmist says in the first three verses, he's talking about the Lord's provision. He says, I shall not want. That's the Lord's provision. He meets all of my needs. And then in verses 4 and 5 today, we're going to be talking about the Lord's protection. I will fear no evil. When the shepherd is with me, I need not be afraid. When all of life is sinking sand, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. There's security in the presence of the shepherd. And then in verse 6, we focus on the Lord's promise, the shepherd's promise, and the personal statement. The focus of the application is, I will dwell. And that dwelling is not just about returning to the temple in Jerusalem. It's about dwelling in the Lord's presence forever, whether that temple is in Jerusalem or it's the temple in glory in the presence of God forever. God has promised eternity to his own. This brings great comfort to us. His provision, his protection, his promise. I shall not want, I will not fear, and I will dwell. Well, we focus in on the Lord's protection, security for the sheep, knowing that you're going to be okay no matter what happens. We don't need to enroll in a protection plan. We don't need to sign up for a security monitoring service. What do we have to do to be assured of God's protection, being secure in the Lord? You just need to be with Him. With Him. You see, the Lord's protection is manifest in His presence. Just being with the Lord is enough. Just being with the Lord is sufficient. Just being in the presence of the Lord, the shepherd, means that we're secure now as we ever will be. So how does the psalmist work this out? Well, his protection is central. His presence is central to this psalm, not only the structure, but the message of the psalm. You say, how is that, Pastor Frank? Well, in verse 4, second to last phrase where it says, you are with me. In the original Hebrew language, there are 26 Hebrew words before that phrase and 26 Hebrew words after that phrase. It is intentionally structured in such a way by the author so that we understand, as sheep who follow after the shepherd and walk through dark valleys in our life, that here's what makes all the difference in the world: the presence of the shepherd. If you go further, the psalm begins with the Lord. Actually, in the original language, Yahweh is the very first word. Yahweh, numerically in the original Hebrew language, if you add up the numeric value for each of the letters, the four Hebrew consonants, the tetragrammaton, you come up with the number 26. What is one of the final words? I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Yahweh again, 26. You say, that sounds gimmicky to me, and I'm not one given to gimmicks. But you see, the Hebrews did this in their writing, especially Hebrew poetry in the Psalms. And they used literary devices such as acronyms and alliteration and parallelism and structure. And the psalmist here is trying to drive home a point. He is taking a sledgehammer to a thumbtack so that you and I will never miss this. Whatever comes against us in this life and in this world, all that matters is that we're with the shepherd and he's with us. His presence is enough. Now look in detail how he continues to work this out. You with me. You with me. First in verse 4a, he says, there is a path we all must travel. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, this is rightly applied when we think about losing a loved one. But friends, this does not just apply to our time of passing. This applies to our time of living and journeying through this world. If you are in this world more than 5 minutes, you're going to walk through some dark valleys. Amen. Think about the world. I'm not big on the news, because it's most all bad in the world. I read enough news just to stay informed because I believe that's my responsibility as a pastor. I need to be able to speak into the darkness in this world with the light of God's truth. But think about what's going on in the world right now. Inflation is up. Stock market's down. The prices of gas and groceries, the price of housing are soaring. Putin and Russia have absolutely lost their minds. And then there's North Korea. There's Iran that are still trying to get stuff and build nukes, we believe, we have evidence for. And then there's China who wants to play the bully and act the fool. The world's a mess. The morality of the world has been turned completely upside down. Up is down, down is up. It seems that we're living in the times like when Isaiah preached and prophesied, woe to them who call good evil and evil good. What is the child of God to do? How are we to react to all of this? These dark valleys, these shadows that are cast over all of creation because of sin that entered the world, because of the curse, because of the fall. This world is full of shadow lands. And yet here we are. We have to navigate this somehow. And that's not even talking about our personal challenges. Amen? I don't know about you, Pastor Chris, but we have a weekly prayer list at Paramount Baptist Church. And there are many weeks when I just sit there and my heart is burdened because I look at the long list of people and all that they're dealing with, cancer and ALS and depression. And a church member not long ago, just months ago, lost a brother to suicide. People are sick. People are hurting. They tell us that post-pandemic, post-COVID, more people are depressed than ever before. I would almost rest assured that in a crowd this size this morning, there are probably a few folks who are walking through some dark valleys right now. I've got good news for you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not walking alone through this dark valley. You can't avoid the dark valleys. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, the right paths. But even the right paths following the good shepherd will inevitably take us through dark valleys. But knowing that he is with us is enough. You see, in Palestine, this was very familiar to those who understood shepherding. In the spring, the green pastures and the still waters were close to home. The shepherd didn't have to lead the sheep very far away. But as summer began to set in the harsh Palestinian climate and the land of Israel, it becomes very hot and dry. And those green pastures begin to dry up. Those pools of still waters begin to get smaller and smaller so that the shepherd is forced to lead his sheep into the hilly areas, up to the mountains, where the seasons are slightly behind so that he can find some good green grass, some fresh grass, and some cool fresh waters for his sheep. And you see, in order to get where you need, to get what God intends to give you, to feed you, to refresh you, to replenish you and nourish you, you're going to have to climb. And on that climb, you're going to have to walk through those valleys. But rest easy, child of God. The shepherd is with you. Now, I was thinking about this. You think about the whole of the Christian life. I think it's a lot like climbing a mountain. It takes some effort, right? Nobody likes climbing. I'd rather walk where it's nice and flat, Pastor Chris. I can get a little lazy. But here's what I know that the shepherd understood. If you want to get to where the green grass is, and if you want to get to where the cool, fresh water is in hard times, you got to climb. The Christian life is like climbing a mountaintop. The climb is a struggle, but oh, when you get there, the view is so worth it. And God wants to take you somewhere if you're in a dark valley this morning. His presence is enough to ensure that you get there, and you can be sure that whatever you're going through, you're not going through it alone. And I want you to notice that last word. Yea, though I walk through. If you're struggling this morning, I want you to hold on to that word. If you take notes, you ought to write that down. Through. I'm going through. Hey, a good shepherd does not lead his sheep into dark valleys and leave them there. A good shepherd never forsakes his sheep. And I don't care how dark it is where you are. I don't care how steep the climb is where you are. I don't care how hard it feels right now. If you are with the shepherd, you can bet your life on the fact that he's going to take you through it. There's a path we all must travel. We cannot avoid difficulty in this world. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The Apostle Paul teaches Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12. For all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Will endure persecution. There is a path that we all must travel, but the Lord's presence, the shepherd's leadership will take us through that. Number two, not only is there a path we all must travel, there is a person we all may trust. There is a person we all may trust. Now, I've already pointed out to you that the phrase, you with me, is the exact center of the structure of this psalm. It's amplified. It's emphasized. Here it becomes even more intimate and personal. The Lord's presence is clear throughout the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not a long-distance leader. He's not sending you direction through Google Maps. He's there with you. But here he brings that even closer to home. Notice that in the psalm, he moves from speaking in the third person to speaking in the second person. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside the still waters. That's great. But here when he's talking about protection and going through dark valleys, it goes to the second person and he says, you are with me. Not he, but you. Hey, it's great to be able to talk about God, but when you're going through some dark valleys, it's far better to be able to talk to God. Amen? And that's what the psalmist does here. He says, you are with me. You're here. You're right here with me. Now, how can we know that kind of intimate presence of God? How can we be so secure in the presence and the protection of the Lord? Well, I'm not going to assume that everyone sitting here on Sunday morning is saved. I'm not going to do that. Just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. I know your pastor preaches the gospel, but I'm going to preach it too, because you know what? I was saved by that same gospel. And you will only know the presence of the Lord. What I'm saying to you this morning can only make sense. These blessings and promises can only be yours if you have come to a place in your life where you've put all of your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you know this shepherd, not as just a third party, but as a personal savior and presence in your life. The New Testament over and over again affirms this. Hebrews 13 and 20 calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter 2 and 25 says that we were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. 1 Peter 5:4 speaks of when Jesus Christ returns for his church. And I agree with the sister who was leading worship this morning. I believe he's coming back soon. I'm just looking for that cloud and listening for the trumpet. Amen. I've heard before, it's not original to me, but if God waits much longer before he sends his son back, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. This world's in a mess, folks. I believe Jesus is ready. Are we ready? 1 Peter 5:4 says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. Over and over again, the New Testament affirms that Jesus Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of all the shepherd picture points to in the 23rd Psalm. And as if that's not enough, hey, how many times does the Word of God have to say it before it's true? Only once. But as if that's not enough, Jesus himself in John chapter 10, that great chapter, says, I am the good shepherd. In John 10:14, he says again, I am the good shepherd. Listen to this, presence, personal. I know my sheep and am known by my sheep. That's a relationship, folks. That's not just an ambiguous trust in a God who is present up in heaven somewhere. That's not even just a trust that Israel would have. Hey, we know his presence and his power. His anointing is with us, but his presence is in the temple. And if you're a high priest, you can go in there. No, this is a promise to every single follower of Jesus Christ that you can enjoy an intimate relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ the Lord. I am the good shepherd. Now, I love how the New Testament goes on to speak of Jesus and points to him in Revelation 7:17. In the midst of the throne is a lamb. Wait a minute, I thought he was a shepherd. Yeah, he is. In the midst of the throne is a lamb who will shepherd them. Hey, he's the lamb and the shepherd. He knows what you're going through. He understands dark valleys because he walked the dark valley that led all the way to the cross. And he did that for you. He did that for your sin. He did that so that you might be forgiven and have eternal life in him. And we know this presence of God that leads us through the dark valleys of life when we enter into a personal relationship with God through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his birth in Matthew 1:23, Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. At the cross, 1 Corinthians 15:4, he is the Savior dying for the sins of the world, and he is God for us. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes down to indwell the church of God and every individual follower of Christ, he is God in us. That's presence. You say, wait a minute, do I get indwelt by the Spirit or by Jesus? Yes! Hey, John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to confused disciples. They don't know, where are you going, Lord? They don't understand. They cannot grasp the scope of this worldwide mission of redemption that goes the way of the cross and then the empty tomb. And he says, hey, don't worry. Let not your hearts be troubled. I'm going away, but it is to your benefit that I go away, because when I go away, I will send you another helper. Another of the same kind. I will send the comforter to you in my name, and he will come to you, and he will be with you, and he will dwell in you. So you say, the Spirit lives in me. And then Jesus says this, catch this. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I'm closer to Jesus right now than I am anybody sitting in this sanctuary, because he lives in me by the Spirit. And because he is present in my life, intimately, personally present in me through the indwelling Spirit, I need not fear. It's going to be all right. You're going to be okay, church. Now, you say, well, I know Jesus, but I'm just not so sure about all that. You quoting Scripture, Pastor. Maybe I've only been a believer for a few years or a few months. I don't know all that. How can I? Here's how. You can rest in the fact that your security in Jesus Christ does not rest upon your perfect knowledge of him, but on his perfect knowledge of you. John 10:27. Hey, he's still talking about the shepherd. This is important, church. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. He's already said we know him. They are known by me. Here he emphasizes, I know them and they follow me. You see, the sheep cannot understand the ways of the shepherd. It's beyond their capacity. The sheep does not understand all that the shepherd understands. The sheep can never know all that the shepherd knows. The sheep can never really comprehend all that the shepherd is to him. He just enjoys being in his presence. The sheep just enjoys the benefits of his provision and protection. Listen to me, church. You may not yet know everything about Jesus, but there's so much glory in Jesus, you'll still be learning a million years from now in heaven. Amen? But let me tell you this. He knows everything there is to know about you. just like a faithful shepherd knows the needs of his sheep and where to take them to feed them and water them and give them rest, the Lord Jesus Christ knows every struggle in you. He knows every weakness in you. He knows every hang up in you. He knows every burden in you. And he knows exactly what you need to get through it all. He knows you. You say, well, that's a little uncomfortable. Yeah, it can be. It's also a source of great encouragement when you think about it when you're struggling. Amen? There's a path we all must travel. There's a presence, a person we all may trust. And then thirdly, there is a peace we all can treasure. There's a peace we all can treasure. Look in verse 4 again, the third phrase. You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will not fear, no matter how difficult it is. Fear has no place in a child of God who's trusting Jesus. Perfect love casts out fear. I will not fear, I will be confident. I will have courage. Why? Because you comfort me, your presence, and specifically your rod and your staff. Now let's talk about that for just a minute. What is the rod? The rod is an offensive weapon. It was typically by Middle Eastern shepherds made from a small tree, a young sapling tree that they would pull up, cut off to their desired length. And then they would shape the end of it around where the roots begin to grow out so that it formed a club-like weapon. And this is the weapon that a shepherd would use when a wolf or a predator or something dangerous came against the sheep. They would fight against that wolf, club it in the head or beat it off of the sheep to protect the sheep. Now, the staff, you probably are familiar with that. Moses had a staff. Staff was a common instrument in those days, but it was an essential instrument for the shepherd. The shepherd himself used it for support as he was climbing and leading the sheep up the mountain to the green grass and the cool waters. But the staff had more uses than that. The staff was used when shepherds might join their flocks together in large pastures. Where there was pasture for more than one, there would be multiple flocks and shepherds come together. But when it was time to go home, the shepherd would use his staff, and as the sheep would pass by, he would tap that sheep and claim it as his own. That's mine. Hey, with the shepherd's staff, the Lord Jesus Christ has claimed you as his own if you've trusted him. He counts his sheep. He claims his sheep. Hey, he also corrects his sheep. Have you seen the picture of a shepherd's staff and it has the crook on it? That is very typical of the shepherd's staff. Many of them were straight. Why does that have that crook in it? Well, sheep tend to get themselves in trouble. Sometimes when the sheep starts to stray away, the shepherd will reach out with that crook and grab it around one of the front legs or grab it around the neck and pull it back. Not all pain, not all difficulty is bad. Sometimes what you might be feeling might be the shepherd reaching out and pulling you back. Because he's claimed you, you're his. No faithful shepherd is going to watch that sheep stray away. We still stray. But with that staff, he claims us as his own. He corrects us in love to keep us safe and secure in his presence. And then, of course, the staff could also double as a weapon in times of need. Whenever there was a really difficult attack or if multiple predators, the shepherd could take the rod in one hand and the staff in the other, and the shepherd would defend his sheep at peril of his own life, fighting with both hands. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I wonder what that might say about the Lord Jesus Christ. One who does everything necessary to secure us from the pain of sin and God's righteous judgment upon sin. The one who said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. You see, a good shepherd will pay any price, take care of and protect his sheep at any cost, even at risk of his own death. The Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me, church. He has fought for us with both hands. He has gone to the cross and he has given his all. He has laid down his life and he didn't pick up a tree and smooth off the end. He beat the devil with the cross. That's the tree that he used. Jesus fights for you. Jesus cares for you. And there is nothing that can come against you, that will ever come against you, that can get through him. That's why you need to make sure you're with the shepherd, that you are living in his presence. And knowing that that is true, folks, I can be confident. I can be comforted. I don't have to be anxious and worried and afraid. I have to walk through the dark valley sometimes, but I don't have to tiptoe when I'm walking with Jesus. Oh, I'm so thankful for his presence in my life. I hope you are. I hope that you know that presence. I think of that kind of confidence that I believe the psalm inspires in us, that it hopes to instill in us. And I think about the Apostle Paul. I think about all that he went through, being stoned and left for dead, receiving 40 lashes minus one over three different times, how he was rejected by his own people, how he was mocked and ridiculed and ran from town to town. But yet through all of these trials, all of these dark valleys that the Apostle Paul traveled through, he had the kind of confidence, the Psalm 23 confidence that you and I can have when he said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against this day. Are you confident today? Are you confident in the Lord's presence? Well, praise God, we should be. There is protection manifest in the Lord's presence. He is with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, a faithful shepherd won't abandon his sheep. The difficult thing is, though, is that sheep tend to stray. You know, every one of us in our lives at times are like that one that leaves the 99. The most dangerous thing, the worst thing for a sheep is to stray away from the shepherd. Don't let that happen in your life. Maybe today you're here, and if you took an honest look at where you are, your spiritual life, your devotional habits, your passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe if you were just honest between you and the Lord, you would say, you know what, I begin to stray. All we like sheep go astray, all of us. The important thing is to make sure that today you desire to dwell in the fullness of his presence and all that that means. In my trials, I need not fear anything I go through. I need not be overcome with anxiety and worry. I can be confident. I am courageous. I have peace because his presence comforts me. His protection is manifest in his presence. Second, his protection is marked by his abundance. This is verse 5. This is verse 5. I know I'm paying attention to time. We don't have much longer. His protection is marked by his abundance. Now, it's interesting because here in verse 5, the primary ideas that we've already looked at, God's provision, I shall not want, and God's protection, I will not fear, kind of come together. And there's a new image introduced, a new symbol, a new metaphor, if you will. And it doesn't remove the idea of the shepherd. It's still there in the background. It's meant to amplify and magnify what we've already understood. And in verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We've transitioned to considering God as the shepherd to now seeing God as our host, the one that welcomes us. And the emphasis of verse 5 is on God's abundance. God provides, but it does not keep his children in rations. Let me say something to you, church. You're going to have to walk through some dark valleys and difficult times in this world, but God's not just going to take you through those so that you survive. He intends for you to thrive in the midst of difficulty. And he wants you to know that he has everything that you need, not just to get through. Yeah, you've ever felt like that? Pastor Chris, I do sometimes. Man, these people won't listen to me. Woe is me. Hard times. Despair and agony, blues and all that good stuff, and hee-haw, I'm probably dating myself. Any of y'all ever watched hee-haw? Oh, it's all bad. I know I'm going to make it, but boy, I'm just going to barely make it. I'm going through, but man, I'm limping through. Is that the way you're feeling today? Let me tell you something. You, as a child of God, are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You have an eternal inheritance reserved for you. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ our Lord. And God has not just committed himself to your survival. God has committed his abundance to you through his grace. God means for you to prosper, and I'm not talking about some health and wealth prosperity gospel. I'm talking about good biblical doctrine that we've been brought into the riches of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I have all and abound. He says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that at all times and everything, you might have all that you need. It's abundance, church. We've been living like paupers for too long. We've been limping through this life for too long. And the world looks at us and our testimony and said, why would I want anything like that? They need to see the king's kids sitting at the table of God, feasting. That's what God means for us. That's what God intends for us. Not that just we would walk through the challenges, but we would thrive. Now, in this picture here, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Preparing a table is an act of hospitality. It's well known in the Middle East. They're very particular. I have been to the country of Jordan. I've been to the country of Israel. And they still observe those laws of hospitality. I was out doing missions work with a missionary that was committed to following the Bedouin herdsmen people. In the country of Jordan, they're still a nomadic people, one of the few nomadic people left in the world. And they still observe those laws of hospitality. And it's funny because the laws of hospitality dictate to these herdsmen that if they see you approaching their tent, they must invite you in and offer to refresh you. It's a great missions and evangelism strategy, right? You don't have to work your way in. And it's funny because some of them will kind of ignore you and act like they don't see you. So you go up loud. You make sure they can't miss you. They invite you in. You start talking to them about Jesus. It's great. Hey, but when they invite you into their tent, when they welcome you into their home, when they become the host, the laws of hospitality say this. They inherit immunity on behalf of their host, and none of their enemies can do anything against them. They're immune from attack. They're immune from their enemies continuing to pursue them, and that's why the psalmist says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hey, the hounds might have been hard on my heels, but God has welcomed me into my presence, and now all they can do is watch. My enemies can't touch me. They can watch while I'm feasting. Well, I'm enjoying God's abundance. Hey, I'm not making this stuff up. This is the word of God, folks. There's the table. Then there's the anointing. He says, you anoint my head with oil. Anointing is so significant in the Old Testament. In Israel, kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. Priests were anointed. But honored guests were anointed. You conferred status on someone when you anointed them. Now, it had a practical purpose. It refreshed the complexion and the skin when the traveler came in out of the harsh climate that they've been traveling through, which the summers get very hot and dry and the skin gets very dry. So this oil was used much like lotion we use today. Often it had perfumes added to it so that it had a pleasant fragrance so that you could refresh your dry skin and you could have some help with all that sweat and the stuff that goes with that that you'd accumulated. So it refreshes you, but even more than that, it's an act of hospitality of your host saying, I'm honored to have you in my presence. I'm blessed to have you in my presence. I welcome you with all of my hospitality into my presence. Folks, this is what God says to us. We don't creep into the presence of God. We're anointed by the Holy One, and God delights to invite us that we may come boldly before the throne of grace because we are in Christ. And we are welcomed into his abundance. Thirdly, the cup. The cup is a general symbol. It has many meanings in the Old Testament. It can stand for God's blessings, particular blessings. It can also stand for God's judgment. You remember when Jesus prayed before the cross, Lord, take this cup. He's talking about the wrath of God. Here it is a general representation of all of the blessings of God in summary. And the fact that it runs over drives home the theme we've been working toward, the abundance of God over the life of his own. If you are in Christ, you will never lack anything that he has promised you. It's yours. It's yours. The Lord prepares the table. The Lord pours the oil, and I receive his blessings in abundance in an overflowing cup. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls, is always more than enough. More than enough. Whatever you're struggling with, he's more than enough. However dark it is where you are, Jesus is more than enough for you today. He always has God's abundance to speak in your life, and there's more in him than there is trouble in you. More what? There's more grace in him than need in you. It's his abundance. God's abundance is poured out on us in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more mercy in him than there is sin in you. Thank God I wasn't saved until I was 24 years old, and I had become a professional sinner by that time. Amen? I'm so glad that there's more mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ than there is sin in me. Hey, church, there's more forgiveness in him than there is guilt in you. There's more honor in him than there is shame in you. There's more hope in him than there is despair in you. There's more love in him than there is hate in you. There's more joy in him than there is sorrow in you. There's more courage in him than there is fear in you. There's more peace in him than there is worry in you. Hey, there's more of a future in him than there is a past in you. That's abundance. That's grace. That's what God has for you as you follow the Good Shepherd. Oh, I'm not done. There's more security in him than there is vulnerability in you. Listen to me. You are secure in the care and the presence of the shepherd of your soul, Jesus Christ. You're safe. You're protected. Nothing can come to you or come against you that he does not allow. There's more abundance in him than there is want in you. There's more promise in him than there is doubt in you. And there is more glory in him than there is an eternity that awaits you. His protection is manifest in his presence. I just need to be with him and him with me. I just need to live in the presence of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. His protection is marked by his abundance. The devil cannot steal my blessings. He cannot take anything that God has given me in Christ. He cannot. He's not powerful enough to do that. He can't do it, church. Now, he can deceive you into believing he can, and then he's won. But you believe in the lie. Who are you trusting? Who are you believing? Amen. I'll close with this story, Pastor Chris. I was at my first church in Honeyapath, South Carolina. How many of you have ever heard of Honeyapath, South Carolina? I heard there was somebody from Anderson. Amen. I believe 300 and something was the population when I was there. My first church, first full-time pastorate, and in the very early months, I was going out visiting to some homes with my chairman of deacons. I was green as a gourd, wet behind the ears. I just trusted what the brother said. He's a chairman of deacons. And we went to this house of a fellow who was having a tough time, hadn't seen him in church in several weeks, just wanted to check in on him and see how he was doing, love on the brother and pray for him and pray with him. And we pulled up in that house, and big old country house, big old yard, and we pulled right in the driveway. As soon as we pulled in the driveway, there were two big old dogs. Dogs. Yeah, I'm from South Carolina. Two big old dogs, and they were German shepherds, and they were huge. And they immediately began to barking. I mean, they looked vicious. I just knew they were going to eat me for lunch. I wasn't getting out of that car. He said, oh, I know these folks, this family, I know these dogs, they're harmless, they're not going to bother us. So he proceeded to pull on in, and we were up fairly close to the house where the driveway ended, and there was still this little bit of space from where the driveway ended till we got to the porch. And I was like, man, that's like no man's land. Dogs are still out there, and I wasn't getting out of the car. He said, come on, they won't bother us. I said, okay, but you go first. Hey, man, aren't deacons supposed to serve Pastor Chris? Aren't deacons supposed to support the pastor? So he did. He said, I'll go first. And he got out of the car. He began to walk. I began to walk. And those dogs came back off the porch toward us. They didn't stop. They kept walking. They kept moving. I stopped walking. He said something to them, trying to calm the dogs down. Dogs didn't stop. In fact, they started running toward us. And they weren't coming to greet us. They were not coming to lick our hands. They were still growling. They got close enough that I saw white teeth, and I froze in panic and fear for just a moment until I turned around and I did the fastest 40-yard dash I'd ever done back to the car. Thankfully, they didn't get either one of us. But I learned an important lesson that day. It's who leads you that determines what follows you. Let me say that again. It's who leads you that determines what follows you. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd leads his sheep. He doesn't drive them. The shepherd leads. The Lord is my shepherd. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's who leads you that determines what follows you. When the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, when you have trusted in him and are trusting in him with all of your heart, only good things follow. Now, you're still going to walk through those dark valleys, but his provision will follow you. Green pastures and still waters will follow you. And even as you walk through the dark valleys, courage and confidence will follow you. Peace and comfort will follow you. And even as you walk through this life and one day you face your final day and your final moments on this earth, you can rest assured that you're going to enter into the presence of a holy God the moment you close your eyes, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But what about if you're not following the shepherd? Then his provision won't follow you. Won't. Follows you. What if I'm not following the shepherd? I'm going my own way. I can live my own life. Well, you can, but you're on your own. I'm following my own way. Here's what's going to follow you. Fear will follow you. Not confidence, not courage. Anxiety will follow you. Not comfort, not peace. Worry will follow you. Stress will follow you. If you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, into eternity, goodness and mercy will not follow you into the presence of God, but the righteous judgment and wrath of a holy God on your sin will follow you into an eternal hell. That's what will follow you. Hey, it's a simple choice, isn't it? Who are you following? Because it's who leads you that determines what follows you. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for your word. Oh God, I pray that you will simply encourage the saints this morning. Lord, that we would be confident in your presence, that we would not fear, that we would have peace, and we would walk boldly through this life as witnesses for you. Lord, for those who are here today who are not saved, they've never come to a place where they put all of their trust in Jesus Christ. They've never truly confessed and turned from their sin to turn towards you. Oh, Holy Spirit, you do what no man here can do. Would you work in their hearts? And would you bring them to the place of godly sorrow and a conviction that leads to repentance so that they might be gloriously saved right here this morning? Father, as the counselors, the deacons, as the praise team comes, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way in this time of invitation. May we all trust and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. We'd love to have you come worship with us in person at 300 Westminster Road, Reisterstown, Maryland, 21136. Also, be sure to check out our church's website at nwbcmd.org to find out what else we're doing and how to get plugged in.